Check 1, 2.
Hey, yo.
Give me low five.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are now tuned in.
Esto
es The Hangueo.
What is going on, todo mi gente? Welcome back to another episode of The Hangueo. I know it has been the longest hiatus ever, but we are back to talk more things about la música urbana, reggaeton, and all of that good stuff. And as always, let me introduce my co-host. It is my other partner, my other brother. It is none other than Ivan Hernandez. Ivan, how are you, my friend?
Yo, what's going on, my twin? I found you, bro. I've been looking for you for a year.
Yeah.
Here we are. The Hangueo hiatus is over. I'm just excited to be here talking, you know, música urbana with you. And yeah, man, it's 2022 now. So in case you were just listening to one of the other episodes, no, you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't fast forward into the future. It actually is 2022 now.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. I'm trying to look up the last the last episode we had was a 2020 recap.
I know. Yeah. 2021 was I mean, how was your 2021? Is there besides the pandemic that's still kicking all of our butts?
Would you care to touch
on that real quick?
Man, that's a good one. I think 2021 was very much eye opening in a sense, right?
You saw, yes.
I think it was a year a lot of us self reflected, and a lot of us found something about us that maybe we didn't know. And I think it was important that you know, we had that self reflection. But overall, I think, you know, I come out, I'm healthy, my family's healthy, and I'm thankful for that. And I think, you know, as long as we have a roof over our head and, you know, we got work and we're healthy, I think it's a win for all of us in that sense. So 2021, definitely not the best of years, but it could also be the worst of years as well. So it's up there. Maybe it's one to forget, or who knows, maybe it's going to be one to remember along the way. But you definitely had quite the 2021, my friend. You, I mean, were up and down everywhere. You were almost impossible to try to schedule a recording with. My man, tell me, how did 2021 go for you? Because truly, I'm just excited for you to tell everyone.
I'm going to recap as small, short as possible, because 2021 is for sure, like you say, a year of growth, a lot of, you know, self-reflection. I had said, you know, I don't want to exit this pandemic the same person I came in, not that the pandemic's over. But 2021 was trivial. It was trying. It was testing. But also, we got to kind of, like, get back to normal a little bit, you know, during the summer and, you know, traveling here and there, weddings here and there, mostly weddings, but fun. You know, got to check off a couple firsts for my list, and I closed off the year by proposing to now my fiance. So
there you go.
That was the highlight of the year. I feel like it was too good of a year to let that carry on to another year, you know?
Of course, of course. No, first of all, you know, congratulations to you
and
your fiance. I know you guys, when you told me the news, man, I was ecstatic. I was like, man, this is awesome. This is great. You know, I love you as a brother, man. And so when you told me that, I was over the moon. And then you shared the pictures, and I was just like, oh, it was very teary.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate you for real.
No, but of course, dude. And not just that, but I mean, aside from everything, you were very much involved with Angel City. I know that's something that, yeah, you know, you were very much up and down with, which is something that I remember you speaking to me about it whenever we had the Liga MX English All-Star game, that, you know, that was something that you were trying to do as well. So, you know, you proposed a lot, and I think you were able to accomplish everything from my scene.
Yeah, man, absolutely. And I think that I hope and wish the same for the both of us this year.
Definitely, right? It's a big year in that sense, and hopefully it could be a big year for the Hangueo as well. We're going to try to squeeze this one in here and there whenever we can, because as you can tell, 2021 was also a year of music, and the year where a lot of music
mucha
dropped,
musica.
A lot of mucha música. There was just a lot of drama as well in between all of that. We got potentially an announcement of a retiring Daddy Yankee. You know, that was also, damn, that was a big shock.
That was
a big shock. It was a big year for
you know why it's shocking, though. I'm gonna interrupt you. It's shocking because
no, go for it.
DY saying he's gonna retire, it's not like Anuel saying I'm gonna retire.
Oh yeah,
you know, like Anuel says, yeah, you're like, but you'll be back in like 6 months once you're done being emo.
Yeah.
DY saying that is like, yo, like our entire genre is like
about on the ropes right now. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, man, I get you. And we'll have a discussion between the two of us right now in regards to DY. But the Big Boss himself made an announcement whenever he was in embedded into the Hall of Fame. And he said, you know, you guys enjoy my last couple of rounds as an artist and my music, and we'll see. You know, he's rumored to have an album coming out soon as well. He did an interview, so it should be interesting to see. But it was, like I said, it was a year of music, a lot of controversy, right? We had the whole J Balvin situation with
Renee. Oh man,
That was just crazy. It was going back and forth. Twitter was having
a they're laugh still not homies. Like they're still not no. Speaking terms. Mm-mm.
They are not. They are not.
Like they went from like colegas to like foes. Like not happening.
Yeah, in a matter of seconds. So we had that, right, and we ended off the year with another nice beefy debate, which we'll discuss right now a little bit too. Raúl Alejandro versus Jay Cortez, which is something that was actually brewing from the beginning of the year, and I'll get to the details of that a little bit later on. But yeah, we had that. I was very fortunate enough, though, to be able to see quite a few artists this year. Raúl Alejandro, obviously, biggest fanboy right here, but I got to see him 2 times. I got to see Karol G. And I got to see J Balvin himself perform, and that was sensational.
J Balvin has I've been to every show he's had in the States since, like, ever. And I think that one of my favorite things about seeing an artist multiple times is seeing their growth, right? Like,
yeah.
Not just, like, as a performer. Like, performing is so different from just, like, you know, laying a track, dropping an album. Like, to see his, like, creativity expand, his, like, entertaining value expand, and then, like, the way that he just kind of, like, personally grabs you in between sets. It's amazing.
It's awesome. It's crazy. And you know what? I'll tell you this much. It was so crazy to see on one spectrum. You had, when I saw Raúl Alejandro perform, it was nothing but bras and panties being thrown at this man. And then you had Jay. No, it's serious. I swear to you.
I know. Like
there's like a 3 chicks right in front of me, and like one of them was just like chucking it, and I was like, damn, okay. And then on the other spectrum, you had J Balvin getting shoes thrown at him because they wanted his, you know, his shoes to be signed. I was like, crazy.
When I saw Balvin, I saw he collected like he was like he's probably hyping it up, but he was like, all right, last city, you know, I got 131 bras thrown at me, so LA, what you gonna do? And all of a sudden, they're just like flying, bro. It's like, yo, it was... all right, like, y'all be safe out there.
It's dangerous. And so now, it was awesome. Like I said, it was a year of music where we got so many albums, so many great good music, such a plethora of music and albums. And I think some artists that we say that were very much up and coming have established themselves as, you know, artists that are going to stay in the genre, you know.
Right.
And you had now you have these more up and coming artists that are looking a little bit more promising. I think someone that cemented himself very well as it was Eladio Carrión. I think Eladio Carrión came and took 2021 by the scruff of it and said, this is my year to showcase. And man, the guy delivered.
Absolutely. I would agree with that. I would also add Mike Towers to that name. I mean, to that list.
But I think Mike Towers was already established in that sense. I think
Mike Towers was like when we were at E2020, he was a guy that was on everybody's like bottom of the barrel. Like, oh, here comes this guy. He's cool. He's lyrical. He's, you know, flashy, whatever, with his bars. But then I think 2021, all the features and stuff, I think it really kind of cemented, like, hey, this kid could spit. And his album was, I think, amazing.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, what got nominated for a Grammy, right? So I think he definitely came up and stepped up. And, you know, a lot of TikToks that I'm seeing is Mike, La Musica, remixes necesitan más Mike Towers. Can Mike Towers necesita los remixes? Something like that along the lines. But yeah, like I said, it was a good end of the year for 2021, and on comes 2022. I think we have a lot of cool projects to look forward to. A lot of these guys is already announcing albums that are going to be dropping. And yeah, it will be interesting to see what this year has in store for us, but hopefully it does not disappoint. I think 2021 held up a pretty good bar. Now let's see what this year has in store for us. So before we kind of get into the mix of what today's episode is going to be, any last kind of nuances or anything you want to recap in regards to 2021, something that you want to mention or maybe kind of let the people know?
Yeah, I think that I think I said at the end of 2020, and I'm going to say now at the start of 2022, I think it just continues the theme of like, watch out for like the crossovers, you know, like you see a lot of artists that are crossing over into the English market. Watch out for the bilingual artists. I think that it's like, no más va a seguir pegando, you know, like it's just like, it's a beautiful thing. The culture keeps growing. And so I would really say like, watch for those artists that are looking to cross into the English market. Be with collabs, be by, you know, spitting or singing in English themselves. I think that that we'll see a lot of that this year, the continuation of that.
Definitely. So I'll throw one question at you and then we'll jump into this whole beef between Raul Alejandro and Jay Cortez. What's one collaboration you're really looking forward to this year if it happens?
Like anything I can just make up right now?
Anything, just top of your head.
Damn, I don't know. That's a tough question. I think I would want to see like a Alvaro Diaz meets like, I don't know, something in the English world, like a, this is going to sound crazy, but like a Alvaro Diaz meets Kanye. Like in that realm,
okay.
Something in that realm, like you know, yeah. Where like maybe just produced by Ye, you know, something like that. I think like that would be just really, really good. Or even like a Alvaro Diaz produced by like a Hit Boy, right? Because Alvaro can spit, I think Hit Boy got the 808s like on set where you got like the clunks, you know, so like heavy sound. So yeah, something like that. Something where like it's just completely out of this world, completely unexpected. I will say though. And I'm gonna ask you the question. The worst collab for me though was Rosalía and Weeknd.
Really? I thoroughly enjoyed that one. I don't know. Maybe it's because I like the beat. I think it was pretty good.
I want a contrast though. They sound the same. Yeah. She sounds way better than him, actually.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's singing in not his first language.
Nah, but I mean just the pitch though. Like, you know, like he's way too high for me.
Do you think
because you could have made that better... somebody you could have made that somebody else?
Yeah,
I don't know. I can't give you a name though, obviously, right now, right? Like I created the question, but I'm in the Oha seat, and I just think it would have been better.
You could have gave it to Rao. I think that would have been almost equally the same. I mean, they're both in that pitch level. But did The Weeknd do a better job in the Hawaii remix than the song he did with Rosalía?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
I think that's like. Your song versus like a remix, like less pressure. So sometimes you do better because there's no pressure.
Understood. I will answer that question in a second. But I mean, it was a year where we got, like you mentioned, those crossovers. We got the release of Bobby Shmurda this last year, and also at the same time got him on a song with Daddy Yankee, J Balvin, and Lado Carrion. Like, come on. Bobby was there.
He came out and he knew what he needed to do to get back and be relevant. That's what that was. Like, oh, hold on, what? Latinos are banging right now? Okay, let me go sit with them real quick.
And I'm not gonna lie, Tata, the remix, pretty good.
That was good. I liked it.
Yeah, same. For me, dude, it's for me, the biggest collab in my eyes has to be, just because I know the time's coming to an end, it's got to be Rao and Daddy Yankee. I know that that's gotta be in the works. I know it. I gotta see that happen.
The thing with Yankee is I don't know. You could see it happen because he's given so many artists that like nod of approval, which is like the ultimate cosign is the collab, right? So
yeah, that's the ultimate
or the feature on the album, which is ultimately what the collab is. But I mean, I think we talked about this when Vice Versa came out, like we were both kind of shocked that Daddy Yankee didn't make the list, right? Like he wasn't.
Oh, when Afrodisiaco came out, yeah, and Rao actually came out. Yeah, no, Vice Versa came out in 2021. Afrodisiaco came out in 2020. We talked about Afrodisiaco on the pod. We didn't talk about
Vicenza. Yeah, yeah.
But Rao even came out in an interview on Molusco TV that, you know, that there was one in the works that kind of he wasn't able to get, which was the one with Daddy Yankee. But that he said that he knows that the time will come when that one comes through. And I don't know. I think they're saving that one for something. What exactly? I don't know. But hopefully we get it this year. Hopefully.
Hopefully, man.
We got a Chris Brown and Rao Alejandro song.
Chris Brown is smooth, though. I know people don't like that guy, but I like that guy. And they're kind of like the, like each other. It's like the Spider-Man meme, right? Like they're kind of like of style, that type of style of each other's like language and genre. So yeah, I think that's a great collab.
Definitely. So when it came out, it was awesome. Shout out to Russian, who again produced such a great beat on there. And
Russian, yep.
Yep. Definitely killed it on that sense. But now that we're on the topic of Rao, let's talk about his counterpart.
Yeah, Jacob, man, give me the meat. You're giving me all the sides, and I want the meat. All
right, let's talk Rao Alejandro versus Jay Cortez, who also, by the way, I think had a very good 2021 in that aspect. You know, his album came out. I actually saw him perform as well. You know, a good performer as well. Can't really knock him down for anything. I personally do like Jayco, even after this whole beef. It's hard to deny, to really say that he's not one of the best lyricists that we have right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I 1000% agree with that.
Yeah. So let's talk Rao versus Jay Cortez. Now, this apparently started brewing since the making of Vice Versa. So Vice Versa came out, and apparently Jay Cortez was supposed to be on the album, right? Rao Alejandro took a song off, or maybe the disquera took it off. I don't know. Rumor has it, right? That's when it started brewing. It was kind of like whatever's, it is what it is. And then things didn't really start picking up until they both started announcing their Choliseo performances, right? It was, I believe Jay Cortez announced it first. He said, boom, I got a date. Sold out. Boom. I got another date. Sold out. Boom. I got another date. 3 sold out shows at the Choliseo, right? Sensational. Fully deserved. And then Rao Alejandro comes the next day and announces his Choliseo dates a week after Jay Cortez.
Did he sell out 3 shows though? I'm just asking.
He sold out 4.
Okay. I legit didn't know. So I was wondering, because this is important information, right?
Yeah. So he sold out 4. Now, as things were progressing, Jay Cortez took to the internet. He took to Instagram and posted a meme of like monkey see, monkey do, right? And saying that basically Rao Alejandro was copying him, that the dates were just kind of, you know, he's like copied the dates. They're literally just 1 week in a difference, right? So that's where things started picking up.
Is that petty?
That's 100%
or is that competition? Like, what is that? How do you what's your take on that?
I think that's got to be a little bit of both, but come on, dude, you really gonna, I would imagine as an artist you would understand that the Choliseo has set dates, and sometimes it's hard to get booked there, dude. And if Rao Alejandro was able to get those dates, I'm pretty sure that, I don't think Rao Alejandro and his team were going, damn, Jay Cortez, all right, he's doing it that week, fuck it, let's do it the next week and let's show these people. Like, no, I don't think that was the intention. But Jay Cortez being who Jay Cortez is, because we know that he's not the type of person to stay quiet. He likes to stir the pot, all right? It's not the first time he gets himself involved in something, right? Nah, it's not like the whole Brian Myers
thing. But you know what? Nah, but I think that, oh my God, the Brian Myers. That was the worst diss track of all time. Okay, anyways, I'm going to stay on topic.
It was, dude.
That was terrible. If you have not heard Brian Myers' response to Jay Cortez, go YouTube that. And I promise you, the voice, little voice that comes out, is not like you're hearing the right thing. It's just that's what it is. but I even forgot what I was saying. Point being, I think so. Okay, so there's no denying, like, and when you like look back in like history of hip hop, which influences obviously the reggaeton culture at the end of the day, right? Like, there's a level of, like, battle rap, that type of thing. It's a competitive nature that goes into music. And I think it's completely organic and natural and completely fine and even adds entertainment when artists kind of like, like, okay, like, why that day, right? It's like, if I'm dropping my album and then you announce the same day, well,
yeah,
you know, I'm not calling you out or nothing, but now we're actually competing for sales on the same day.
Yeah.
Or streams in this case, right? Because that's how it works now. So Jay Cortez being who he is, I think to me, it just shows what he feels his posture is in the genre and in the industry currently, where he feels, I can call anybody out, Raul Alejandro, who's this guy? Like, you know, and it does go back to the whole feature, no feature, whatever. But I think to me, it's just a flex. It shows like, oh, I'm going to clown you because who do you think you are?
Yeah. No, of course, of course. And you know what? Raul didn't stay quiet because Raul and his team found a way to piggyback off Jay Cortez's website and take it directly to Raul Alejandro's World Tour ticket sale. So whenever you clicked on Jay Cortez's website to go buy tickets for the Choliseo or whatever he was doing or performing, it would automatically redirect you to Raul Alejandro's page. Now, that was up for a couple hours, and they did that on purpose, of course. But, you know, and things kind of just...
That's funny, though.
Yeah, right?
Like, that's hilarious. Yeah. Like, to me, like, yo, that was clever. Like, I'm not gonna hit you back on socials, but watch this. Yo, I got my IT team, like, you know, whatever, like coding or whatever. That's hilarious. That's amazing.
Uh-huh. So that's kind of where it kind of ended. And then it picked up with the Si Pepe remix, right? So...
Yeah. Which, I mean, the way they did that, like, they threw Homeboy's song to the trash pretty much, like...
100%, right? Dude.
Like, instead 100%. Of giving him the feature and the cosign, like, they made it about themselves. That wasn't cool on either part.
And it was Jay Cortez again instigating and hopping on this because, you know, who's the art? Who came out? Who's the one that sings Si Pepe? Give me a second. I have it right here.
Damn. But that's the point, though. We would have known his name.
Yeah, Ancan, for the same reason.
Right?
Ancan.
We would have known his name, but we don't because these fools decided to make a mess out of that song.
Exactly. So Ancan came out and in an interview on the radio said, yeah, you know, like, you know, they asked, because right at the moment, Raul Alejandro was popping because of Vice Versa, right? Todo de Ti, all that stuff. And he came out and said, yeah, you know, everyone knows Raul Alejandro. He's this kind of artist that's very kind of, you know, flamboyant in the sense that he sings about romance and it's for the babies y todo eso. But, you know, he's got himself a little bit of a calle side, right? Like, he knows how to roncar and he's going to be featured in my remix, Si Pepe. And you guys are going to see a little different Rao than you're used to, right? And in that moment, Jay Cortez took and said, you know what, I'm going to be part of this. And so he said, you know what, let's do it. So he dissed it, and I would not be surprised if it was Jay Cortez's own team that leaked that part of the song that came out.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm 100% sure that it was, right?
Yeah, because you gotta show that you swung first, right? Like,
yeah, of course. Now I want to hear your take on his part of Si Pepe, Jay Cortez. Now you know
Jay Cortez
100% this is Rao. You know, says what he says, you know, goes off and then talks about, you know, his girlfriend too, Rosalia. He says, you know, tu español quieres que le hable English.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. It's lyrical. Right? To me, like, I can't deny that, right? Like, it's lyrical. But to me, you're crossing the line. And it's not so much that you're crossing the line with what you're saying. But again, like, you're supposed to, when you... It's like if Yankee came on his one of his songs, that's supposed to be the ultimate endorsement. Not that he's anywhere at his level, but my point being, like, you come on, you do the co-sign. That's the whole point of the feature for an artist like that, and like, you ruined it. Like, you ruined the poor guy's track. Like, you made it about yourself, and that's why to me it's just so uncalled for.
Yeah, no, I kind of agree in that sense. But at the same time, we know that, you know, these artists take any advantage. I remember freaking when Farruko was going at it with Arcángel. Like, whenever he had a feature, he'd always find a way to diss Arcángel somehow. And it kind of gave me a little bit of throwbacks back then, but you're right. I think it was a sense of... And I think, see, Pepe was always kind of going to be that kind of that fronteo kind of song, but DJ Cortez took a little bit too far because I don't even think Rao was even trying to diss J Cortez when he first came out with this song, right? Because J Cortez entered this late, this remix late, and obviously 100% went for Rao. Rao, I think, was just kind of saying, you know, puffing his chest out and just saying, you know, nonsense. So... But now that you mentioned Daddy Yankee, I remember J Cortez had a song come out with Daddy Yankee this year that passed with Mike Towers. And Daddy Yankee, I think, put, with the two best artists of the new genre or something like that. And J Cortez then reposted on his story and said, that's right. Did you hear that? The best artist of the game right now. It kind of, again, throwing it out, dissing to Rao.
By now you see there's a trend, right? Like it's just like any opportunity va a roncar, any opportunity.
Yeah. 100%. And then so that gets leaked out, and then boom, all hell breaks loose at that point, right? And I think the fact that he disses Rosalía in that sense, I think Rao said, all right, enough's enough. And out comes Hunter.
Shit, I said that. I was like, hold on.
Yeah. But out comes Hunter. And when Hunter comes out, and I listen, and I 100% already know that it's a response to J Cortez, and the song ends, I'm like, Rao, you should have never done this.
I was like, yeah, exactly.
This is not your zone. Like it's okay. Like, you know, like it's understandable. Like I'm the biggest Rao Alejandro fan. I know that he was getting into the ring with someone that might eventually knock him out, because Rao Alejandro is not that type of artist. He's not the frontero type. He's not going to be the one that's going to hit you bar after bar after bar after bar. Right.
Right.
He's all about the talent of his voice, the melody, the, you know, the romance and all that stuff. So when Hunter ends, I'm like, okay, you had a couple of good bars, right?
Mm,
but
absolutely,
none of them were like 100% KO.
So I agree.
No, yeah.
But like, that's what makes me feel like to him, it was just like, I'm gonna get on here and just kind of have fun with it. It wasn't a complete response. But it was still kind of like something was on the back of his mind.
Yeah.
You know? Because, and I know we'll get there, you see his response to the actual diss song, and then you're like, oh, hold on. Like, this guy is kind of capable. Like,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So that's why looking back at it, I think Hunter was like a hey, if you want to dance, we can dance.
Yeah.
But let me have some fun with this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you put it perfectly. Let's have some fun with it, because he comes out even with a music video, you know? So like he comes out, does a whole music video, like all that stuff. And even at the end, he like, you know, as the track is ending, he's like doing like a fake interview. He's like, no, yeah, of course. Like, you know, I'm with my team, you know, and yeah, there's a couple of us, but like I said, like I want all of us to eat and this and that. Kind of throwing all the disses that J Cortez was saying to him, kind of like, yeah, but I mean, you know. Doesn't really bother me.
Right.
And in that moment, it was like, okay, I was like, Hunter's not a bad song. I think it's a good song, but it's a groovy song, which I don't think is the right thing you're trying to go with, right? Like, it's got to like, okay, like, this is a good beat. Like it wasn't like a ronca, you know, all that stuff.
No, like, yeah, like, no, it wasn't like a, no, it wasn't like a street anthem or anything. It was just like.
Exactly.
It was his style. It was like his
style. It was a Rao song.
Of instrumental. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then enters J Cortez back in the ring with Enter Rao. And look, I am, again, I'm the biggest Rao Alejandro fan. I finished the song Enter Rao and I said, boy, my boy got cooked. Like it was a direct tweet. I was like, dude, like this is over. This is done. Like fuck the song. The song title is 100% sure. Like he buried you, my guy. Enterrao. Like, dude, come on, dude.
Can I just add the video, like the video elements to that?
Beautiful. On point.
It's just on like point. A work of art.
And dude, like I said, I bigger than Alejandro fan, but I was like, damn, man, like this guy, like I even went back. I was like, this part is catchy. Like it's bar after bar after bar after bar after bar. But that is Jay Cortez's element. And in the moment that Raul Alejandro said, all right, we can dance, I was like, this is probably one dance that you can't complete.
Right. And I think that that's because, again, like, I think people forget, like, when Jay Cortez, like, started, when he came out, it wasn't reggaeton or, like, the pop version of the genre. It was very, like, trap, very calle, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you kind of, like, into the game, you get a little flashy, you get some notoriety, you know, you kind of, you know, it's like Bad Bunny, right?
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Bad Bunny was not a reggaeton artist. He was a fucking trap artist, okay? Like, let's start there. And the same thing goes for Jay Cortez. Like, that's how he started. And so now you want to, like, diss him. Well, of course he's going to come at you, like, you know, full steam. That's just, that's it. It's who he is. That's his element.
It's his nature, yeah. This is nature.
So I wasn't surprised. But this guy had a lot. Like, he had, like, you can tell, like, he probably had a great time making.
He had so much fun. Yeah, he had such,
like,
a good time.
He was
time.
Just like a kid, like, at the playground, just like having, like, uh-huh. He was like, what? Like, hold
he's
on.
He's picking him apart like crazy. I was like, dude. I was about to tweet, like the freaking the meme of The Simpsons, like, stop it, stop it. He's dead already.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, when I saw it was 7 minutes long, I just thought, okay, yeah. He's going to be dead by minute three.
Yeah, and he was, dude. He really was. Dude, like, you go back and you hear that song, and it's got probably some of the best disses you'll ever hear on a track.
His wordplay is insane.
Ridiculous, man. And that's why I said, like, you're getting in a ring with someone that has that track record. Like, this is a guy that when he started coming up, he was writing songs for, like, Nicky Jam and other artists. Like, you know, like, he already had that, you know, blessing, I mean, in that sense.
This dude has one of my favorite bars of all time on, I think it's Medusa. He says something like, si need a Cuba, las cubanas en mi cuello. Like, that is a triple entendre, for those of you who do not understand, right? He's saying, yeah, without going to Cuba, right, I got Cubans on my neck. He's referring to Cuban women and referring to Cuban links.
Yep.
Like, I don't think, and that's why sometimes I hear, like, music is like in Spanish, bro, and I'm like, these bars are just so far more insane. Like, the delivery is way more insane than it could ever be in English, in my opinion.
100%. 100%. And like I said, I think there was La Curiosidad remix when it came out, right? The version where both Raul Alejandro and Jay Cortez are. And I think I was talking to us in the group chat, and I was like, yo, yeah, like, it was such a good song. And I liked Raul's part, but my favorite part was Jay Cortez's. Cause, like, it just, yeah, flowed the bars 100%.
Absolutely.
And so knowing that, coming into this and hearing Enterrado, I was like, man, this is, dude, the guy literally said, He's like, I did this with COVID. I'm like Jordan with the flu. I just literally, I was like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, flu game reference?
Come, yeah, on. Dude.
Come on.
I was like, oh, man. So I then and there thought, okay, my boy's done. We're going to take an L. It's fine. We'll regroup. We'll come back next season stronger. But.
This is a Manchester United, bro. Sorry.
I know. Don't even remind me. But it wasn't over. And I think a part of Rao was very much heated in the sense because he comes out with Jacob Flake.
Jacob, yeah, which is like,
yeah, Jacob Flake. And the man literally came to murder. I mean, he,
yeah, man. Like now that one was shocking. Like, I didn't know he had that in him. You know, like, let's keep it real. Like, I didn't think he was gonna well, I don't want to jump ahead of you, but the artwork, very good. The name of the song, very good. So we're off to a good start.
Yeah. And he goes off, man. he goes off and he literally, I was like, damn, dude, like this guy's hurt because he completely went out of his way to kind of say, all right, no hold bars. You want to go? We're going to go. And he called him out, dude. He said that he was on perks and that he was just, you know, he was high off of that. And that, you know, he went off and he completely just trashed his relationship with Mia and just, you know.
Which, okay, I got something to say about that. You can't be Alejandro and say, like, yay, man, don't talk about my girl. Be respectful to women. But yeah. Then in the same song, yeah. You're dissing his girl.
Yeah, that was very much a double standard right there.
So, I think that that...
But I think at that point...
Because... Uh-huh. Go ahead.
No. Go, finish.
I have to point that out, though, because I think to me, like, that takes away from, like, the element, right? Like,
uh-huh,
if your concept is don't do this, well, then don't go and do that also. Because then, like, come on.
Yeah.
It's just like, but you're, like, eliminating it.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm not here to defend him in that sense, but I do want to say this. I think Enterrao got to him, and he said, all right, the gloves are coming off. You want to fight? We're going to fight in that sense. And he's like, no holding back, just completely throw everything out there. And I was 100% surprised. When he came out and delivered those punchlines and all of that stuff, I was like, what am I listening to? Who are you? Like, all right, put that song and then put Todo de Ti right after. Like, it's two different worlds. Like, you know, like that's
yeah, exactly.
It doesn't coincide. And yeah, I think he crossed the line. I'm not gonna lie. I think he did cross the line.
You think he crossed the line?
I think so. Don't you think? Because
how?
Because of the double standard. Because of the double.
Okay, standard, double standard, yeah. For sure. Whatever. Like, I get that. But what else would he do?
No, just in that sense. I think that was, you know, but what I did think was interesting was that he brought something back that we haven't seen in such a long time when it comes to these kind of beefing on diss tracks. He called him out for like literal fight, like a literal fight.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to bring that up. Yeah.
I have not heard that in, oh my God, dude, literal fight. Literally said, bro, I'm putting half a mil if you step on the fucking octagon.
He said, and that's how, like, he didn't say ring, he said octagon. Like, he wants to cage fight this man. Like, you're not going nowhere.
No, exactly, dude. 100% said octagon.
Oh, man.
I was like, so how did you feel when you heard that? Because I was just mind blown.
So I hit the, you know, I think I heard it like a day or two later afterwards. You were like, yo, you gotta listen to this. Like, he did all right. And I was like, all right, whatever, man. Like, it wasn't even a priority of mine because I didn't think he would, you know, respond in a way that was like respectable. Mm-hmm. I hit the play and I initially thought I had the wrong track on SoundCloud because I was like, who is this like little voice talking to me? And then then it hit me like, okay, I see what he's doing here. And the one thing that I respect about Alejandro and how he handled the J. Conflay diss track is that this guy really dissed his, I guess, competitor here, like, in his style, right? In his, like, he didn't, like, try, I mean, he came, like, with bars, like, in that sense of, like, being, like, street or whatever. But he didn't switch up who he was. Like, he sang. He was like, his delivery was like, you know, still kind of groovy. There was this one, there's a few bars. I wish I'd wrote them down before recording. Where it's like repetitive, in like the rhyme, and it's like almost like creating a beat. His right, and so I was very impressed, and I felt that I could appreciate that he kind of stuck to his style of who he is as an artist without, you know, as being like, all right, I'm going full Kaya, but his lyrics. I did it for him. However, the question lies here. If you're the judge of this and your scorecard, who do you give it to?
This is a tie for me.
It's a tie?
For me, it's a tie. Okay. Although I would see
how much of that is, you know.
that's like a good 80% my bias of me being a Raul Alejandro fan. But look, I wouldn't knock it if you said
that. I was just gonna ask how much that is bias though.
Yeah, yeah. No, because okay, look.
I feel you. Okay. Fair enough. Like you're not gonna argue it either, right?
Yeah, no, because look, Hunter came out and delivered some really good bars, and I thought, like you said, it was good, catchy melody. It was very much Turrao. Jay Cortez comes in and completely demolishes him within Turrao, which I think gives him a lot more points. But I think the fact that Raul Alejandro responds in less than 24 hours with Jay Conflé and completely just erases the image of who we thought Raul Alejandro was, yeah, and delivers
that's true. I will give you that. Timeliness, you get points for that for sure. Because that was definitely insane that he put that together that quickly. It was almost like he was just kind of waiting, like sitting by his phone and went in off. And so, like, hey, y'all, listen to this. And he's like, all right, I'm gonna just go to the studio right now and finish this.
Yeah,
you know, like he probably already had like a track selected or something. I don't know, but yeah, I personally, though,
you give it to Jay.
I give it to Jay by like a minimum margin, but that's because here is my biasness because I want to hear more. Like I want another response and another response.
But I don't like it's because how can you respond to that after the guy just called you out for $500,000 to go step in the ring? Like at that point, like you gotta have the cojones and be like, all right, let's fucking step in the ring then, you know?
You think so? You can't just respond with a bar? Like,
you no, I don't think so. Because
the people maybe you respond, like, and then at the end, you like subliminally drop like, I don't know, latitude and longitude, and like that's where he's waiting for him or something. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I think there's a creative way to respond back, but you have to figure that. That's for him to figure out.
Yeah.
What did you think though, or what is your take on these fools? Pretty much both, like. One of the ways that they're making fun of each other, right? And this even happened on Twitter when they were, you know, doing a little Twitter beef, is they were constantly mocking one another for what their tickets sell for, right? Like,
yes.
Like,
yes.
One saying, oh, well, my sell for 50, my sell for 70, like, my starting is at 40, my starting is at 60, like, pretty much saying, you're cheap, I'm expensive. Because I'll tell you this, as a fan, that's disrespectful as hell.
Yeah.
Right? Because pretty much what you're mocking is like my money as a fan to go see your show.
Yeah.
That's my take on it.
Yeah. And maybe not a lot of people will see it that way. I think a lot of people are just like, oh, these guys are just talking about money and kind of.
Yeah. But that's my point. Like, you're saying you see your show as just like another like paycheck. You don't see it as like an experience that you're giving to your fans.
Yeah, and maybe they do, but at the heat of the moment, they're just like, "All right, let's talk money, right?"
Yeah.
And that kind of gets thrown out of the window for a bit, but
because yeah, if that's the category, then Bad Bunny wins because he's charging $200 to start or some shit like that. So
yeah,
I'm just saying, like, there's levels.
Which,
right?
By the way, I love this kind of whole demeanor, and I want to hear your take on this as well. You know, Raul Alejandro saying that he one of the biggest flexes that he has on Jay Cortez is that he's done it, but he's done it on his own, right? He hasn't needed a Bad Bunny to put him up in those global charts. On the other hand, Jay Cortez has needed the featuring department, right? You're talking about one of the biggest verses that you can remember about Jay Cortez, and it's not even his own song. It's Medusa, right? It's a feature with Anuel and J Balvin, right? And I go back and I talk to you about other J Cortez songs. A lot of people love J Cortez and Diakiti, right? Or
Diakiti,
yeah.
Yeah. It's just the weird it's a weird name, it's not you.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing. You're right. J Cortez has the thing is, I don't know if I would say needed, right? I just think Jay Cortez is a good feature, right?
Oh, 100%. He is.
So if I can get you on my song and you make my song better by having your feature on it, why would I not have you on it? And that's not to knock that he, like, it's, you know, because most of these songs, it's him featuring on the artist. It's not him getting the artist on his song,
mm-hmm.
right? So yeah. It's not him saying, hey, Balvin, I need you on my track. It's Balvin saying, hey, I want you on my track. So yeah. I think, I mean, I can see how it's like a, you know, double-edged sword or whatever. But I think that at the end of the day, Jay Cortez needed that because that's what separated him from, like, his, like, moment in his career where he was like very gaye to now he's like more mainstream, you could say.
Yeah.
But clearly still has like those roots where like he'll bounce back, no biggie. Yeah. And for example, I would very much like to hear or have like a newer artist that is more gaye ask him for a feature, because he probably would deliver and remind everybody like, nah, man, I got this in the bag. You saw Enterrado. Yeah, that was me. Like, I wrote that, you know?
Yeah.
But Rao Alejandro to me is almost incomparable, and you're going to like this, because Rao Alejandro, I'm going to say something really bold right now, is probably one of the most versatile artists this género has ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And so that alone is just like, who's the weirdo? Except, hold on, he can do what? And he sings and he dances and he like has the fits and he's flashy and he's like, you know, he has the ladies and he has the dudes and he has, like, it's like, he's just like a jack of all trades. And so that makes him unique, right? It's like, not just like his persona or his image or his presence, but even his ability to just hop on different tracks with different people or do different things. So that separates him off the back. Two different ways to get to where they're at. And I don't really think they're comparable, actually, when I think about it.
No.
Like it's not to say like, oh, like, well, one's better off because of the other. Or, you know, like, Rao Alejandro is better because, you know, he just danced his way to where he is. That's like, you know, that's like saying, okay, well, then J. Cole got his way to where he is because he's very lyrical. Like,
yeah,
two different types of talents and artists. And it's actually super ironic that they're the ones that are beefing, right?
Yeah, it's two different lanes. It's two different lanes. Like, it makes no sense.
Like, I would pay money for J. Cole to call Rao to call out J. Cole on a dance battle. Like, that would be funny.
And there's actually a video that Rao Alejandro uploaded of J. Cortez dancing in his earlier stage in his career. Really?
I've not seen that.
I will send it to you. But he's called him out. And then J. Cortez had the audacity to reply underneath that tweet and said, I dance better than you. I was like, what?
See, but that's also like, cool. It's like the ability to laugh at yourself.
Yeah. I was like, the evidence is right there. But... No, 100%. I agree with you. I mean, you guys, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. Ivan said Rao Alejandro wins Artist of the Year because of his versatility.
Wow.
Hey, man, I had that,
I'll see y'all next episode. Nah, I hear you. I hear you.
But you're right, though.
Listen, since we last spoke on this platform, he's grown on me a lot, and it's because of that. Like, he is doing things that like you just never seen before, and it's great. I'm a fan.
Yeah, the guy got Shaquille O'Neal to be in one of his music videos. Like, you know, growth right there.
I wonder what that cost him too.
I know that's and Shaq didn't even say a word.
I'm gonna ask you one question before we move on from Rao Alejandro.
Yeah,
Rao with the clean cut or with the dreads?
Oh, clean cut, 100%. I don't. Okay. I don't know why we're still living in the dreads era. I thought it was over once Rakim and Ken Y, you know, got rid of him.
That's how it is, man. Fashion recycles, man. Next year, people are going to start putting rubber bands on their pants again to wear with their Jordans. Watch.
Oh, God. Please don't. But yeah, look, at the end of the day, I just hope everyone enjoyed it. Because I think that was kind of the angle here was that, you know, you had fun with it. We learned a little bit something about Rao that we didn't know was in there. We learned a little bit something about J. Cortez. And overall, both artists are still respected. Both artists are still going to be doing what they do best. And we'll see what this year brings. I'm pretty sure this is not the last we hear of them beefing it out. And we'll see what happens, though.
I actually hope they like don't collaborate ever. So that every time one of them puts out music... No, man, listen, at this point, I don't want to hear that anymore. Like, at this point, I hope for, like, the next, like, 3 years, they're just, like, on opposing terms, so the entertainment continues.
Man, I haven't had a sense of, like, a good guerra, like, a good guerra between artists in such a long time. But still, to this day, one of my favorite diss songs ever is going to be Gatilleros Remix. Tito Bambino featuring a bunch of artists. If you guys haven't listened to it, listen to it. Everyone on that track is dissing every single other person that comes after them.
It's amazing. So, it is such a good concept. 100%.
Such a good, and shout out to DJ Luyan for coming up with this bold concept of I'm gonna get everyone that hates each other and just put them all together in one song.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
100% love it. If you guys haven't heard it, go listen to it. But yeah, that pretty much wraps it up. Ivan gives it to Jay Cortez. I give it as a draw. Let us know what you guys think. Ultimately, pretty good. And it's always fun to go back to those songs later down the road and be like, yeah, this was a pretty good bar. Or maybe this one didn't deliver as hard as we thought. We'll see. Time will only tell. But all right, Ivan, let's kind of wrap it up here with one last big topic that everyone's kind of been discussing. And that is the Conejo himself, Bad Bunny, has been launched, not by himself necessarily, but by other people, in a battle with Daddy Yankee for who currently sits on the throne for reggaeton. A lot of people come out and talk about this. Nicky Jam being one of them who came out and kind of, took Yankee's side, but also defended Bad Bunny. I'm curious to hear your take on who currently, right now, as this moment, as we speak, as we're recording this, who sits on the throne as the king of reggaeton.
Oh, I didn't know Bad Bunny was a reggaeton artist. Hold on. Are we talking about the same artist? Are we?
Hey, Bad Bunny is an artist of the world, apparently.
All right, man. Shout out to Kaya on that one.
yeah, right?
All right. So as of today, Tuesday, January 18th, 8:41 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Daddy Yankee is still the king of reggaeton.
100%. 100%. But
like, and the episode now. No, end the episode now. There's nothing more to say. Like, who are these people? Like, what? Like, Gen Z? Who? Who are these people?
All these TikTokers, man, coming out and freaking like saying stir the this. Pot.
Because if they are, they can't say anything if they've not heard, like, Barrio Fino. Let's just start there.
They would not be able to get through the whole track. The whole album.
That album actually aged so well because, you know, like what's trendy, like the Latin trap, and Barrio Fino is technically Latin trap, if you ask me.
Yeah. By the way, it's such a good album. I'm gonna go back and listen to it tomorrow because it's just very much nostalgia. But in
that
sense,
listen to that in the gym. If you need that power song, mm-hmm. just throw on Barrio Fino before you know you've been in there 20 minutes longer than you thought you were gonna be. Guaranteed.
Yeah. I'm you know what, that's what I'm gonna do tomorrow. But you're right though, in that sense that I don't know where this topic came out of. It's obviously, you know, generated from this new younger generation that wants to hail Bad Bunny as the king of kings.
I don't even think it's that. I know grown men my age that are in love with Conejo Malo and could give a damn about other artists.
And you know what? It's because I don't know what it is that he's been so infatuated with the crowd that people love him to death. And rightfully so, right? Look, I'm not going to deny to you that this man has talent because it's oozing off of him. And there's a reason he's at the top.
I agree with you. I'm not here like this is not Conejo Malo, Bad Bunny slander. It's just know your place, you know?
Yeah.
Like, do I listen to the guy? Absolutely. Like, do I think he's cool? Sure. Do I have a pair of his shoes? Yes. Like, I could keep going. But, like, my point being, like, that doesn't mean that he's better than, like, the guy that is responsible for the genre being where it
is. For him having a career.
You know? Exactly. And I don't know why it's so hard for people to understand that. And I don't know. Maybe we're just, like, purists of the genre, or we're just, like...
And I think it is, but
committed to the genre in a different level that we're, like, it's offensive almost even to us to hear that, you know?
It is. 100% is. But it's not to say that we're ignorant of his success either. Like, granted, no, he's done stuff that just mind blows you if you actually sit down and think about it. But I think one of the things is that, and maybe this is a knock on him because of his success, right? He kind of blew up and hasn't had to be as consistent at bringing out music as maybe some of these other artists, or maybe as Daddy Yankee.
Who is this?
When he was, you know, starting.
You're saying Bad Bunny hasn't had to be as...
Ivan? I think I lost you there for a second. Hold on.
Hold on. My bad. My question was, you're saying Bad Bunny has not been as consistent as Daddy Yankee to start?
No. He hasn't had to be as consistent as maybe as a Daddy Yankee when he was Bad Bunny's, you know, age in having to bring out music constantly. I think Bad Bunny
I think Bad Bunny has put out a project every year since his first album, no? In 2018?
Yeah, but I feel like it's 2017? Very scarce.
But this is the thing. To do an album in 2017, a mixtape in 2017, album in 2018, album in 2019, three albums in 2020, I don't know, man. See, and this is what I'm saying. Like, I'm not here to... This isn't Bad Bunny slander. Like, I'm literally arguing for the guy right now. So I need people to understand that. Like, I'm not here to knock him. I'm just saying, like, not in comparison to DY. It's just, like, you know, compared to somebody else, and I'll gladly maybe give him la razón. That's it.
Yeah. No, it's because, look, when you think about Daddy Yankee, you think about the trajectory he's had. And look, I'm not going to lie to you. He hasn't really been hitting the mark lately, DY, with some of this.
But he doesn't have to.
Yeah. No, and I get that.
He doesn't have to.
Yeah. But even though they don't hit, they still make numbers. And I
guess what? You know what? You're going to go to Premios whatever, and guess who's going to win the trophy over you?
Of course. It's Daddy Yankee.
It's why he has to retire. That's actually why he has to retire. Not because he's like, you know, at a point where I've been missing for 40 years. It's because he's like, okay, Niños, I've been taking all these shiny toys from you year after year. I'm going to let you get one now. You know, like.
Yeah. You know, no, like, 100%. I agree with you. And I think you just can't say that Bad Bunny runs the genre just because he's plastered everywhere. I think there is, like, okay, you could be the poster child, sure, if you want to, but that doesn't mean that you hold the throne.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of that is people in general just become, like, obsessed with, like, labeling or, like, this romanticizing, like, an artist that, like, they're, like, love and adore, which is great. Don't get me wrong. Again, that's fine. But again, like, just put respect on the people that have come before, you know? Like, it's like if, I don't know, man. Can't even think of a new
rapper. For example, okay, look. Would you say that Bad Bunny is in a higher throne than Arcángel?
See, that's tough. Also, because Arcángel has been around for a long time. Is he more popular right now? Sure.
Bad Bunny owes his career also to Arcángel. Like, the man kind of helped him be where he's at today. If there's no Arca, there's no Bad Bunny. I'm just saying that.
Absolutely. And like I said, more popular than Arcángel today, absolutely. But La Maravilla is La Maravilla, and like nobody can take that from him. Like, you know, like.
Also, one of the best lyricists, hands down.
Absolutely.
So then it comes to my point that, look, yes, Bad Bunny is great. He undoubtedly one of the best talents that we've most likely will ever see. But just because of his recent shot to success doesn't mean that he automatically claims that throne. Because I think Nicky Jam put it perfectly. He's like, look, Bad Bunny is fucking killing it right now, dude. Everywhere. All you hear and all you see is Bad Bunny. He's like, but Yankee's been doing this for 25 years straight. So when you can sit there and say that you did it for 25 years straight, then you're in contention.
Literally gonna say Bad Bunny has only been in the game for literally a fifth of the time that Daddy Yankee has. So, like, now I'm bringing math into this, and I hate math. Like, how much more clear do we need to be? Like, the guy's like, he just been born, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
and you know, like, again, going back to the idea, this is not like a Conejo Malo slander channel, it's really not like. The other day, I think I saw an interview with that guy where he was, I don't know what station he was on, but it was with the radio. And he was talking about how every project he's ever put out in his life has always been rushed. Either rushed by the label, rushed by because he already had a date and he wasn't ready, rushed because like something didn't get cleared and he had to like re-record something. And he's like finally at a point where he's going to take his time on something. I'm excited to hear that. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be like maybe Yankees on one of his tracks. It would be all for it. It would be my favorite track, sure, whatever. But again, it doesn't that just because of that, like, el estudiante ya pasó al maestro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it's going to take a long time, a long, long time. And look, it's hard to even try to debate who could be up next to, you know, hold the throne. And the minute Yankee leaves, it's going to be weird. It's going to be weird because no one's going to be able to rightfully sit on that throne. I don't think ever. And the reality is, well, that the closest person that has gotten to that.
Go back to
that,
episode one of the Hangueo, that would then be Wisin Yandel.
Wisin Yandel, which I'm sure they're going to stick around for a little longer. And rightfully so. You know, that's a dual crown right there. But still, I mean, I don't know. It's not Yankee, right? And it's going to be interesting what the new regime is going to look like with no Yankee, which, by the way, might be at the end of this year. We don't know. You know, Yankee said that he's coming out with an album. It's been, God, 10 years since we've gotten an album from Yankee.
It's been
Prestige so long. was the last real album. I don't think he counts Imperio Nasa, DY edition. As an That's album, a... it's more. It's not that good either.
I was gonna say, the is it Los de la NASA? Yeah, like they're, yeah, they're. That's something nice.
Which, by the way,
but then see, but then okay, so even oh my gosh, dude, that's even more of the point. This man has technically put out what 4 albums in 25 mm-hmm. years, and he yeah. runs the genre easy,
hands down,
because every. Oh my gosh, I just don't understand why we're arguing, why we're talking about this. But I get it. I get it.
I'm just saying, it's like it was hot in discussion. I was like, we need to throw our 2 cents in there. And I think we have. I think we've put up a good discussion. And look, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, of course, but you know, the fact and the reality is not even the genre's divided. Like, everyone would give it to Yankee, like hands down.
Please name this episode Daddy Yankee Greater Than Sign Bad Bunny.
Yes, I will. I definitely will.
And at IH3, come find me. We can talk about this.
Yes, of course. You guys can follow us over on Twitter at I_H_3 and at IvanPineda83. We'll be more than happy to oblige
step
you guys.
Step into my office. Step into my office.
Step into the office, and we'll gladly discuss as to why.
And I don't mean that like confrontationally. But just like, let's discuss. Like, if you really have an opinion about the Conejo Malo, tell me why he's better than Daddy Yankee. Like, I'll gladly listen to you. I will come to your TED Talk.
Yeah. Record it. I'd love to listen to it as well.
Exactly.
Because I think it's interesting. It's definitely, you know, I know that there's older people that will fall in this category, but for the most part, it's this younger, you know, generation that has attached themselves to the hip to Bad Bunny, right? Like, that man could do no wrong in their eyes, you know?
1,000%.
And that kind of scares me a little bit.
Yeah. When you are obsessed with somebody like that, that's kind of weird.
Yeah. And he has become a global obsession.
But again, not to say that he doesn't deserve it. Like, he's worked hard for that. 1,000%. Like, he deserves to be on my TV on a Corona commercial. Like, that's great.
Yeah, of course.
Happy for you. I'm glad you have this Adidas deal. Like, I'm glad that you're transcending the world with fashion. Like, I could keep going with like good things to say about the guy.
Yeah, but the first person to collab with Snoop Dogg was not Bad Bunny, ladies and gentlemen. It was Daddy Yankee. All
right? That's right. On a song, not a commercial.
Oh, exactly. So there's that. Which, by the way, when Daddy Yankee did that, people thought it was impossible at that time to ever get something like that.
Yeah. Damn. What a time.
What a time. Go watch the music video, guys. It's still one of the hardest music videos out there.
I agree.
But yeah, look, it's not up to debate. DY continues to have the throne. He will until he says he doesn't. Even when he steps down, like, it's still going to be there for him. Like, that's his. Like, no one's taking that from him. 25 years of consistency and 25 years of continuing to be the best at what he is. And he's a man that's...
Not only that, but like... So those are his personal accolades, right? But in, like... I think like we have to really, 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 really like nail here, like how many other artists he has opened the doors for. right?
Yeah.
And as he's gotten older and he's collaborated with younger artists, like, he's continued to evolve to where he still, like, fits the mold of what the genre is today. It's not like, let me see here, it's not like, like Ludacris in hip hop, where, like, this man's been gone for so long and he's just, like, desperately trying to, like, you know, hop on whatever song he can or do whatever he can to be relevant. It's not like that at all. Like, Daddy Yankee to this day, 2022, album coming out. This is not a sponsored ad. Like, he is, like, he fits the mold of what we're doing, what we're seeing in the game, and he continues to open the doors for young artists. And, like, that is you understanding the responsibility that comes with being, like, the GOAT.
Of course. And, look, by the way, it, you know, there was a time where, you know, maybe in a different timeline, he doesn't, because, I mean, you had Don Omar at his peak knocking at the door for DY, right? And who, again, Don Omar, sensational talent. Right? But I think the one thing that separated DY from a lot of these, from your Don Omar, from your Arcángels, from your Wisin and your Yandels, this is 100% discipline that he always had. Like, if you hear the stories of DY, like, this is a man that, all right, you look at him and you're like, oh my God, DY, like, he's awesome. Like, he's such a cool young, and he still looks freaking hella young. Like, he's like this cool guy, like, he can do no wrong, right? But this guy was probably one of the most hood persons you'll ever meet. This guy was strapped. This guy was ready to go if anything went south. But he never took it to any other level because he always said, I'm only doing what I need to do to get by in order for me to make my music. Whoever opposes me, then they're more than welcome to come and you know, catch this heat. But if you don't mess with me, I don't mess with you, and I'm just here to do my thing. I'm just here to do my music, and that's it. And this guy had to do stuff, you know, that was tough in his eyes, right? And, like, this was not something simple. This is not now in the days where you just go to the recording studio and, like, all right, cool. Like, no, Yankee had to go and he had to roll deep with some of the gangsters in Puerto Rico because he needed that protection, because he was not, you know, supported by everyone in the island. So there was always going to be that those groups of people that are like, no, you know what, like, this guy, we don't fucks with this guy, like, it's on site. And so he had to roll heavy. But he never got his hands dirty because that was never his intention. And so he's like, even though he was carrying, even though he was rolling deep, his instructions were always, we're here to do our job. And as long as we can do our job, then we're just going to do it. We're not going to make a scene. We're not going to make a fuss of it. It's just, we're here to do our job. We're here to make the music. We're here for the people. And then we're out. And I think that's got to say something. Like, if you go back and you see the trajectory of Daddy Yankee and what he had to go through, and then you think, damn, yeah, this guy deserves to be on the throne.
Absolutely. And again, to recap my friend here's story, go listen to Barrio Fino.
100%. There you go.
Like, just go listen to the album. Go listen to the album.
100%. But you know what? Yeah, we'll just wrap it up right there. And you know what? This was fun. This was great. We got to talk Enterrao and all that good stuff between Jay Cortez and Raul Alejandro. We got to talk some Bad
That's
Bunny.
That's such a good name, man. I'm sorry. Enterrao is such a good name.
And look, I'm telling you, man, I hate that. I like it, you know? But it's true. The TikToks have been going crazy, too. This was fun. We got to talk some upcoming stuff. And, you know, we'll be back, hopefully, before 2023, and we'll have some more hot topic and some more hot debates. But you guys can follow us over at Twitter at The Hangueo. If you guys haven't done so already, make sure you guys go check us out. And then we're on everywhere that you want to listen to us: Spotify, Apple Music, and so on and so forth. Yeah, I mean, that pretty much does it. Pretty much wraps it up. Ivan, thank you so much for coming out. Thank you so much for making the time. I know that this has been you guys don't even know this. This has been like a month and a half in the works. It's just life keeps getting in the way for the both of us.
It really does, though. But we're here. We're happy to be here. And let's get it.
Let's get it. All right. You guys have a wonderful time. We'll be talking soon. And then, like I said, we'll be back on the Hangueo pretty soon, talking more things música urbana. All right, then. You guys have a wonderful time. Take care. And as always, stay safe. Okay.
Mic check 1, 2.
Hey, yo.
Give me a little vibe.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are now tuned in.
Action time.
Esto es Me Janguea.